भगवचे वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 7. What Prahlad learned in the womb, text 7, text 16. Tattu kalasya dirghatvat, street van matus tirodate, rishina nugrihitam ma. Rishinanugrihitam nadunap yajahat smiti tattu kalasya dirghatvat shridvan matus tirodade rishinanugrihitam Nadnunapya jahat smriti Tattu kalasya dirghatvat Shritvan matus tirodade Rishinanugrihitam mam Nadnunapya jahat smriti Vaishnavis. Tut, that, instruction on religion and knowledge. Tu, indeed. Kalasya, of time. Dirghatvat, because of the longness. Streetvat, because of being a woman. Matu, of my mother. Tiro, today. Disappeared. Rishina, by the sage. Anugrahitam, being blessed. Mam, me. Na, not. Aduna, today. Api, even. Ajahat, left. Smriti, the memory of Narada Muni's instructions. Translation, because of the long duration of time that has passed, and because of her being a woman and therefore less intelligent, My mother has forgotten all those instructions. But the great sage, Narada, blessed me, and therefore I could not forget them. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9:32, the Lord says, Mam hi parta vyapasritya, ye pishu papayonaya, shtiyo vaishyas tatashu das te piyanti param gatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be lowborn, women, vaishyas, merchants, or shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. The word papayoni refers to those who are less than shudras. But even though a woman may not be papayoni, because of being less intelligent, she sometimes forgets devotional instructions. For those who are strong enough, however, there's no question of forgetting. Women are generally attached to material enjoyment, and because of this tendency, they sometimes forget devotional instructions. But if even a woman practices devotional service strictly according to the rules and regulations, the statement by the Lord himself that she can return to Godhead, te piyanti param gatim, is not at all astonishing. One must take shelter of the Lord and rigidly follow the rules and regulations. Then, regardless of what one is, one will return home, back to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj's mother was more concerned with protecting the child in the womb and was very anxious to see her husband return. Therefore, she could not consider very seriously the sublime instructions of Narada Muni. Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasavi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This could be one of those verses and purports that you wish someone else gave class about. Because the way the external society is, and even the way our own society, our Krishna conscious society is, whatever you may say, you're probably going to get in trouble. So, keeping that into account, we're simply reading what Bhagavatam Gautam says, and we're reading Prabhupada's purports. So, please keep that in mind. What we can see is that generally, according to things in your mind, you latch on to particular statements, and they really jump out of proportion in your mind because you're focusing on certain things and you have certain syndromes. So I was just thinking as reading this purport. Now, you could really flip out about this if you were, you know, of contemporary culture, which most of the world is not, by the way. But still, if you are of contemporary urban culture, because at this point in history, more than half the world's population lives in urban concentrations. When I was speaking at Stanford a few weeks ago, I explained that 200 years ago, if you were in a spaceship and looked down at Earth, you would have just seen two bright lights on the whole planet Earth, indicating a city of more than 1 million persons. That would have been London and Beijing 200 years ago. Now, if you were in a space capsule and you looked at the planet Earth, how many, you know, globs of light indicating major urban concentrations would you see? 450. So, although the urban contemporary culture has spread everywhere, still the majority of the people in the world are not contemporary just yet in their consciousness. So, just see, if you are of, okay, let's say you're a typical California consciousness, and you start reading this verse and the purport. What is this? This is Taliban. What do they want us to do? Start wearing, what do you call them, burqas? Oh, this is really prehistoric dinosaur stuff. You just read a few lines, and basically I realize what's happening is your concepts in your mind are reacting to the Bhagavatam, and therefore you may rush to judgment and not through deliberation give the whole picture a fair chance. And now just see, as I was reading the purport, I decided, why don't I just, in my mind, emphasize other parts? Just like you could, with your conditioned mind, with the lens of your conditioned mind, you could just focus on various statements that would really rattle your cage. But then, why not instead focus on statements like this as the main point? For those who are strong enough, however, there's no question of forgetting. So that immediately tells you, for those who are strong enough, it's not about the body in terms of going back to Godhead. It's about, are you strong enough? What else? But if even a woman practices devotional service strictly according to the rules and regulations, the statement by the Lord himself that she can return to Godhead, tapi anti pramgatim, is not at all astonishing. So it all depends, I see, on what you want to focus on. If you want to hit Prabhupada up, you know, get in his face, you know, or do it around the back. Well, you know, Victorian culture, you know, he's from 200, more than 100 years ago, you know. You can do that, go around the back. But if you try to take things head on, and we're supposed to read Bhagavatam in a submissive way, because right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, it is stated, Paramo Namatsaranam Satam. Bhagavatam is for those who are swan-like and non-envious. To be non-envious means at least to give something a fair chance. As they say in Australia, give it a fair go. And try to be dispassionate, which is very difficult in this day and age. So, what we're stressing here, as given by Prabhupada's purport, is actually, then regardless of what one is, one will return home back to Godhead. But Kayadu had some problems. And so the Acharyas, not only Srila Prabhupada, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the same thing. They're pointing out that she didn't transcend her problems because she wasn't focused enough, even though she was serving Narada Muni. So we should start to try to get profit by looking at things from that angle. That because the purport is clear, it's not astonishing that anyone who follows strictly can go back to Godhead. But if you take shelter of your body, whether you're a man or a woman, that's another thing. Prahlad did not take shelter of his body. Whereas his mother, because of attachment to the body, she wasn't obviously applying the instructions of Narada Muni enough. She succumbed. Now, this can happen to anyone, no matter what shape, body, color, whatever. This is the nature of existence in this world. We spoke yesterday about how Krishna doesn't cover up in Bhagavad Gita. He lets you know that time is doing things. Sakalinaha mahata yoganashta parantapa. In the course of time, the real purport of Bhagavad Gita became lost. Not the verses became lost, but the proper understanding. So Krishna had to speak it again. So similarly, what is being explained here by Prahlad Maharaj is that, again, tattu kalasya dirghatva. Because of kalasya, the passage of time, it was such a long time. My mother forgot. Her attachments, natural, you can't criticize Kayadu for being attached to the unborn child in her womb. I mean, her missing her husband, and she's very chaste. To miss a husband like Hiranya Kashyapu. But because of all that, she didn't apply enough the instructions of Narada Muni. So Prahlad says, that she didn't get his mercy. Whereas Prahlad somehow or other got the mercy of Narada Muni, and that is the distinguishing factor. Who got the blessings of Narada Muni, although both of them heard? Because as we discussed yesterday in text 15, Narada Muni delivered his instructions both to me, who was within the womb, and to my mother, who was engaged in rendering him service. So she was doing devotional service, very nicely serving Narada Muni. But somehow or other, because of her not taking proper shelter and applying what she heard vigorously, time had an effect on her. Now, actually, it wasn't that, from one point of view, it wasn't that long of a time. Prahlad is speaking around the age of 5 years old. But that shows you the potency of the time factor. 5 or so years is a long time in the material world in terms of becoming covered over. You can see these days, at this point in the age of Kali, from one day to the next, someone's spiritual commitment can change because of an attack by the modes of material nature or a wrong choice. Things can happen suddenly. Your spiritual life can take a setback. Of course, this is not Kali Yuga that Prahlad is discussing. So still, the time factor is so powerful, as Krishna refers to in Bhagavad Gita, as Prahlad is saying here. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev says that just like a mass of clouds is unaware of the power of the wind to just blow them out of the sky, blow the clouds out of the sky at a moment's notice. You may have seen that. I don't know if it happens in Southern California. It happens in, for example, New Zealand all the time. Places called the land of the long white cloud. So you look up in the sky and you see these beautiful, long, puffy white clouds. And then the winds change because the winds are coming from the oceans, which is surrounding both islands. And next minute, those beautiful clouds are gone. So Lord Kapila Dev gives that beautiful nature example that just like a mass of clouds is unaware of the power of the wind, in that a sudden gust of wind can blow those beautiful white puffy clouds out of existence, so to speak. Similarly, Kapila Dev says, the conditioned soul is unaware of the potency of the time factor. But Prahlad is pointing that out. Okay, I'm just 5 years old, but that's actually been a long time since I heard from Narada Muni. And that long time, somehow or other, by the blessings of Narada Muni, it didn't affect my transcendental knowledge and consciousness. But my mother, she forgot all those instructions. Now, both Prahlad and Kayadu, as well as Prahlad's friends, they've got strikes against them. So we want to feel sorry, of course, for Kayadu. But at the same time, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Swapamapisya Dharmasya Triyate Matobaya, that devotional credit that she got by serving Narada Muni nicely will never be lost. We see so many times in our Krishna conscious society, persons practice in the beginning very nicely, or even for quite some time, and then they lose their footing. Prabhupada was aware of that. But as he explained, I'm doing what I'm doing on the authority of Narada Muni, who said, even if they go, it's better they came for a short while and did devotional service. Even if they go, still, the preaching must continue. They'll never lose that credit that they got by serving Krishna, and at some point they'll pick up their devotional service again. I remember Prabhupada lecturing, explaining that. I'm doing this on the authority of Narada Muni. You may ask me, so many are coming and persons are leaving. That's all right. Of course, they shouldn't leave and no one has to leave. But nevertheless, I'm declaring on the authority of Narada Muni that it's better they come and unfortunately go than not come at all. So you see, Narada Muni has such an extraordinary effect. Srila Prabhupada saying, I'm doing what I'm doing on the authority of Narada Muni. Prahlad is recalling his blessings from Narada Muni. Now, Prahlad, let's remember, Prahlad is a little boy, and he heard Narada Muni from within the womb. So aren't those major material impediments? You're in the womb, helpless, and then you're a little boy. You know what it's like. Right after you take birth, you forget everything. When you're a little kid, you're just totally helpless and foolish. You just want to play with toys and do silly things and get lots of attention. So these are all the impediments Prahlad had against him. Moreover, he's born in a family of demons. His father is the greatest demon ever known. So, obviously, Prahlad could have easily had justification, one might say, for forgetting the instructions of Narada Muni. But somehow or other, he transcended, and that is the glory of Prahlad. So, let's be fair. Let's not simply focus on Kayadu and feel sympathy for her, which we can, but let's focus on Prahlad. Prahlad had major impediments. He had major problems, major strikes against him. Being in the womb and hearing, being a little boy, and being in a family of demons. And his friends that he's talking to also have major impediments. They're little boys, too, and they're from demoniac families. But Prahlad is fearlessly transcending in his preaching. He's presenting the instructions of Narada Muni to his little friends. So you might say, come on, Prahlad. I mean, really, these are 5 and 6-year-old boys. What are they going to understand? Just calm down, Prahlad. Don't be so fanatical. Do some bridge preaching. I was just joking. So you might say something like that. But look what Prahlad told his friends in spite of the material circumstances, in spite of his material impediments. And his friends were listening. Instead of playing at recess time, they sat and listened to Prahlad. You know, recess from school, everyone remembers what that means. You run out into the schoolyard and scream and yell, and the little boys run up and pull the girls' pigtails and all sorts of things like that. You know, that's recess time. Instead, they're listening to Prahlad say the most intense things about material existence. Prahlad is going to talk about everything. That's why devotees cherish his instructions so much. I always say the first time I ever encountered Prahlad's instructions through Srila Prabhupada, I remember I had a devotee had in Jersey City, New Jersey, had distributed to me just a little pamphlet, Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. So I took it to where I was going, and sat down on the couch and turned the pages. By the time I got to page 2, I had slumped over on the couch. Prabhupada was just going for it right from the beginning. Sukham Aindrikam Daicha, Deha Yogena Dehina. The happiness that you get through sense gratification as a human is the same taste that the cats and dogs get. I just collapsed. I said, oh my God. I've never heard anything like that before. So I resolved, I got to find more books by this Swami whose name I can't pronounce. So the next day I went to Greenwich Village in New York, you know, to these alternative bookstores, and I found Bhagavad Gita as it is, the blue one, and I found an abridged version of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So that is the power of Prahlad coming through his suitable representative, Srila Prabhupada. What is a 5-year-old boy talking about things like that? Yanmai Tunadi Grihamedi Sukhami Tucham. Talking about a certain activity between male and female, how it's like rubbing two hands together to relieve an itch. You're a 5-year-old boy talking to 5-year-old boys about that. That Prahlad has such a crystal clear understanding of material attachment and how you waste your life. He understands the male female dynamic. And a 5-year-old boy, this is the power of Narada Muni's instructions. Prahlad clearly understands how men and women waste each other's time, whereas the greatest scholars in the world can't understand that. I might have told you, or maybe I was speaking in San Diego, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but arguably, according to the masses, the world's most famous scientist, Stephen Hawking, who's famous for all sorts of cosmological speculations, as Judah Karma reminded me yesterday, any scientific theory in history has always been overturned or modified or thrown out or whatever. That's considered progress, by the way. Hearing through parampara is primitive. It's the same old thing. But coming up with theories which will always be replaced, kicked out, modified, that shows progress is moving on. In other words, you're just trapped with your imperfect mind and senses, and so you go from one speculation to the other, and these speculations hold water for a short time, and so you think this is progress. But the Bhagavatam says, as long as you don't get out of those confines of knowledge based on your limited sense perception, there's no progress at all. So this scientist, arguably, amongst popular conception, is known as such a brilliant, ingenious scientist who's figured out everything. So a news reporter asked him, "You know so much. You understand things about the universe no one's ever understood before. Your formulas that you come up with are dazzling. You've got such deep cosmological insight. Is there anything that you don't understand?" He thought about it. "Yeah, I can't figure out women." "They totally blow my mind. I can't figure them out." Now just see, Prahlad, by the mercy of Narada Muni, he's got it all understood. So this is the power of knowledge coming through parampara. And because Prahlad got the blessings of Narada Muni, he didn't forget those instructions. So what we're really dealing with is Kayadu's wasted opportunity. Of course, there's no loss. She served Narada Muni. Just like in our ISKCON society, so many devotees, they serve Prabhupada. And it's natural, those of us still standing today, we always think, "Oh, if only I could have had that chance, I would have never gone away." So similarly, it happens. But they'll never lose their devotional credits. And unless they make offenses, even when they're in Maya, when they go into Maya, such devotees, they always remember, "Oh, those were special times. That was the best time of my life. I just couldn't keep it up. I got covered over. I was slack in my spiritual life. I stopped chanting. You know, I merged into Southern California." You know, you understand, Prabhus. But, you know, I don't eat meat, fish, or eggs. And I don't drink beer on a codicil, so. Four eggs. So. We see it happens. Nevertheless, that kernel of devotional service is always there. Of course, if they make offenses, then that kernel, from one point of view, you could say becomes obliterated. It becomes so covered over and submerged beneath all the offenses that it's like it's obliterated. Eventually, it will come back. But sometimes the acharyas say that offenses to devotees can destroy your asset of devotional service. It is never lost, but it can become so obliterated it seems like it's lost. So Prahlad has maximized his credits. He's maximized his outcome. His mother didn't. Nevertheless, what Prabhupada is making us aware of here is that the mother had a complete chance. She had her impediments, unborn child she's carrying, attachment to her husband. And you could say, well, she's supposed to be focused on her unborn child. She's supposed to be focused on her husband. That's also there, the Sri Dharma, but there's supposed to be something higher. Remember in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was arguing all this stuff with Krishna? Hey, let's focus on Kula Dharma, Sri Dharma, all these subordinate dharmas. Therefore, I can't fight. And what did Krishna say? Kutastam kashmalamidam vishame samupashtitam. Arjuna, where did these impurities come from? Especially in this hour of crisis, why are you coming out with all these concoctions? This is not befitting someone who's an Aryan, who knows progressive values. You're talking about material dharma. Remember yesterday we were speaking about pure, uncontaminated knowledge. That's what Narada told Prahlad. knowledge of Godhead, Bhagavad Dharma, devoid of material motivation, material prosperity. So Arjuna's presenting to Krishna, let's consider Dharma in terms of material prosperity. I can't gain from fighting in this war. No one gains. I'd rather just walk off the battlefield. I can't be happy. No one's going to be happy. I don't see how any good can come up from this. I mean, Arjuna is really having a breakdown. We can remember times in our life when there's every opportunity, alternative I look at is bleak. I don't see any way out of this. So Arjuna is presenting his version of what he thinks is Dharma to Krishna. And Krishna rejects it. He says, look, even the material Dharma that you're presenting is not correct. Anarya justam asvargyam. What you're saying as material Dharma, prosperity religion, will actually not bring you prosperity, even on the material platform. Let's talk on the material platform. You've got your Dharma confused. You won't go to the heavenly planets acting like this. Of course, Krishna is not interested in anyone going to the heavenly planets. He's in Bhagavad Gita, he's introducing to you pure Bhagavad Dharma, pure devotional service. Nevertheless, he deals with Arjuna on that subordinate level at first and says, look, you've got the material Dharma wrong. And then, of course, Krishna takes Arjuna higher to the platform of Bhagavad Dharma when he concludes Bhagavad Gita by saying, Sarva Dharmam Prachaja, throw out all subordinate dharmas and understand real dharma is to do what I want. That is Bhagavad Dharma, uncontaminated knowledge, uncontaminated religion. We should start thinking about what did Prahlad do to get the blessings of Narada Muni. That's why Prahlad could not be overcome by time and his bodily impediments. He got the blessings of Narada Muni, which allowed the instructions of Narada Muni to stay with him. Remember, last week we spoke about Krishna and Sudama Vipra when they were students at the Gurukula of Sandipani Muni, and they went through some extraordinary austerities in doing something for Sandipani Muni, and they got his blessing. Krishna was doing that. Krishna himself triggered such a huge storm while he and Sudama were in the forest getting firewood for yajna. Krishna arranged that to show this is what a disciple does. This is how to get the mercy. You don't even pay attention to your own personal inconvenience while trying to satisfy Krishna's devotee. That doesn't mean you go out of your way to look for material inconveniences, but you don't let them impede your devotional service. So because Krishna and Sudama demonstrated that, Sandipani Muni blessed them, that all the Vedic purports will never be lost in you by time. You'll always be able to remember the Vedic purports. So similarly, Prahlad, by getting the blessings of Narada Muni, can remember the instructions. And you see the extent of that memory. In Bhagavatam, you can read several chapters of Prahlad instructing his demoniac schoolmates, what Prahlad learned in the womb. It's extraordinary, then, what the power of Guru Prasad can do. And everyone can have that potency. Evidently, Kayadu, she had good fortune, but she couldn't maximize on that good fortune. But still, she served Narada Muni personally. Just like you might say, so many devotees, they personally serve Prabhupada. Where are they now? But you've got to hold on to your ticket, I always explain. Like when in L.A., after the famous Chaitanya Charitamrita and Fifth Canto Marathon, Prabhupada wrote that famous letter to the BBT staff. He said, by this effort, you're all going to go back to Godhead. So you might say, wow, well then where are they all now? Is Prabhupada, is his blessing, it's not intact? I mean, quite a few have gone away. But You see, Prabhupada can put the ticket in your hand, but you got to hold on to it. He can give you that mercy, that ticket back to Godhead, but if you drop it, if you fumble the ball away, what can be done? Someone gives you the ball and says, okay, here it is. Just run up the field. You'll score. And you just, you're too busy looking at the crowd, everyone cheering you on, and you just drop the ball. So what can be done? Someone was telling me, one of the most famous football players in the NFL, the greatest wide receiver. One time he caught a pass right near the goal line, and was going in for the score, and football players, they spike the ball as they cross the goal line, but he did it right before he crossed the goal line. He was celebrating, but unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what side you're cheering for, the referees didn't catch it, so it was a touchdown. But later the film showed, and they asked him about it. He said, well, I guess I got a bit carried away, I'm a veteran, I'm a pro, I should have been more careful, but anyway, they didn't catch him. So sometimes we can lose our opportunity. We can, due to neglect, and therefore we don't transcend. So again, this is the important part, I say, of this purport. Regardless of your material impediments, everyone can go back to Godhead if they follow strictly. And Prabhupada writes, this is not astonishing, no matter what your body is. And all bodies have problems, especially in the age of Kali. Yesterday at the Bhakti house, one young lady was very sincerely asking me, sometimes I read things in Bhagavad Gita, and I read things in Srimad Bhagavatam, and I said, I don't know. I said, the statements about women. I said, first of all, let's focus on the men, the current state of men. if the men were actually stronger these days and could control their senses, I think what you read in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam about women would be more palatable. Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I would accept it as completely true if those men would control their senses and stop being such wimps and begging on the ground, wimping and whining for sense gratification. Yeah, then we would accept what Prabhupada said. But because the men are what they are, therefore we have to protest. I said, I understand. But I said, overall, you should know that this is Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, everyone's a Sudra. I said, haven't you read that? Kalo Sudra Samava? In the age of Kali, everyone takes birth as a Sudra? I said, no one's got a right to stick up their nose in the air. In our ISKCON society, I pointed out to her, we have very saintly ladies. We have very saintly men. Everyone gets that opportunity. But each of us, each body specifically, has some weakness. So I told her, we already discussed what the weakness of a man is. And these days, they don't do anything to counteract that weakness. They just think, go for it, with as many as you can. And therefore, their health becomes so weak, their minds become so feeble. And so, everybody has this particular weakness. In the Vedic times, men were different. So I asked her, where are the Arjunas? Where are the Yudhisthira? She said, right, yeah. Where are the Arjunas? So you would submit to an Arjuna or Yudhisthira, wouldn't you? Sure. And then she admitted, I got to tell the truth. Sometimes I do some dumb things because I want attention. I said, what do you think that means? She said, I know. I want attention. I feel lonely. I leave myself exposed and get into some dodgy situations, which I shouldn't do. So I said, perhaps, just perhaps, the Shastra may be referring to that. Perhaps. Not that, you can't go to the university and get a PhD, or you can't become Secretary of State or even President. That's not what the Shastra is referring to so much as intelligence. The Shastra is talking about a different type of intelligence, and it's difficult to understand that different type of intelligence because the men aren't setting a good example. So I said, okay, thank you. I'll go on chanting Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavad Gita. So that was my humble attempt at dealing with the situation. These days, you can't satisfy everyone about that issue. No matter what you say, someone's going to, you know, throw a samosa at you. All right. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Banabhatta Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very enlightening class. I'm wondering if you could help resolve an apparent contradiction in my mind. Juxtaposing what you just read in the purport, in the verse in purport, in Srimad Bhagavatam, and what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, among women I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience.
I always bring that verse up also. I said, well, you know, let's take the whole Bhagavad Gita into account. And let's go to the first canto, Prayers by Queen Kunti, where Prabhupada says that generally women are more devotional. And they flock to temples and religious centers in greater numbers. So let's just take the whole picture. So yes, that is it's not a contradiction. You just got to take the complete whole. Yes? Come on, let me off the hook. You want some push it?
Thank you, Maharaj. That makes perfect sense. But I'm wondering, because Srila Prabhupada says that these qualities are feminine. What does it mean that, you know, like a woman is considered, you know, by nature less intelligent, although the quality of intelligence is considered a feminine quality?
Well, you know, in my, I don't have the experience to be able to resolve all that. So you have to ask someone who, you know, in that ashram who has, you know, experience.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I slipped that out one, didn't I? Arjuna Prabhu.
Maharaj, thank you for astutely and expertly dealing with this verse. It seems that the crux of the matter is a concise and precise definition of intelligence. Just like in the verse it says, or in the purport, Prabhupada says, one who has the strength will not succumb. So we know immediately he's not talking about physical strength.
Mm.
So, but the word intelligence, it seems, is not clearly defined in our society, in our minds, and therefore we run into trouble.
Yes.
If we can have a clear, concise, precise definition of intelligence, then we can discuss, we can go further.
Yes. Otherwise, it can be said, well, the men these days are intelligent, look at the way they're acting. Or so many of such and such gender are Secretary of State or Prime Minister or this and that. So what do you mean by intelligence? So actually, according to statistics, more of one gender do better academically than the other gender academically. So we must be talking about a different definition of intelligence, as Archie DeBabu is highlighting, pointing out that. And similarly, I was trying to, I think I did make that point very gently to the young lady last night. I said, maybe we're talking about a different type of intelligence here, because as you just admitted, even though you're a smart person, you're going to university and all that, you have high career hopes, but you just admitted that sometimes when you get lonely and blue, watch out. Not that the men are anything different these days also. They're on the prowl. So we need a different understanding of intelligence, as Archana Prabhu said. Anything else? Yes.
Regarding the intelligence that's feminine in the Bhagavad Gita, I one time heard a devotee explain it that is prakriti. The reason it's feminine is that that's the intelligence of prakriti. I don't know if that's acceptable, but
last question.
Uh, You were saying, thank you for the class. You were saying that we should think about why Prahlad Maharaj got the mercy of hearing Narada Muni in the womb. And I'm not too familiar with the whole story, so could you elaborate why he got that mercy?
Just like a book distributor goes out and tries to distribute books, not everyone takes. Prahlad took, even within the womb. He took. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.